It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, Ebro, and with me, as always, to talk about waiver wire pickups before Week 12 is my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. Adam, what's going on, man? How are you doing? How are things? I know we've been busy in all the content and stuff at FTN. How are you doing, my friend?
Good, buddy. It was a good week for touting, right? I mean, I saw, I wasn't home Sunday morning. Unfortunately, I got home late, but, saw you were touting Jonathan Taylor. I touted them on the podcast. By the way, solo podcast for a 12-game NFL slate.
Woo.
I enjoy it, but, just make sure you have water with you. But yeah, I mean, this week is obviously loaded, right? You have content, you have a Thanksgiving Day slate, you have football, we have basketball, we have everything at FTN. And of course, everybody's spending time with their families. So again, we'll talk again, but I hope you and the family have a great Thanksgiving as well as everybody out there. The only thing that could make this week better is if we had a better week of waivers, because this is probably the worst week of the season by far.
It's gross, man. And I know we get on here and we talk about waivers and we talk about a lot of these weeks are not pretty. That's just kind of how it's been this year.
It's really bad. Like, it's really bad.
It's bad. I'm not going to say there's a few guys I think that if you got any kind of fab left and stuff like that to go kind of like, spin the coin on. But outside of that, yes, it's not a lot of like really sexy names, a lot of players where you're like, okay, plug and play, let's go. So yeah. I don't disagree with you, man, but there's one outside of, yes, happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. Look, take this time to appreciate your loved ones. I understand sometimes you go over to auntie's house and the cousins are fighting, or you see that one in-law that you're like, all right, this is the only time of the year I'm going to see you. I don't like you that much, but fine, we can share some turkey together. But it's a good time to appreciate family and enjoy those times, man, because we don't... I mean, how many times, like, again, you get together with family, sometimes there are rare people that, like, your favorite cousin, who have you, like, that you see maybe two times a year. So
yeah,
enjoy man.
I've told you, and a lot of the listeners probably know, but like, I was born in upstate New York, but I moved away from there when I was about 4 years old. So the rest of my family lives up there. Like, so I see my family, I don't know, couple times a year, honestly, and it's unfortunate, but luckily my uncle and aunt and cousins are all coming down on Wednesday, so yeah, I'm definitely going to take advantage of that and enjoy that time, and I hope everybody else does the same with their family this week.
You have to, man. You got to appreciate the small things, the little things, and enjoy the family time in life. That's what it's all about, dude. But if you're not wanting to sit here and take a lot of time away from Thanksgiving, like we're talking about, you got to be with the fam. Football's still going to be on, people. And if you want to get access to a way to help you craft your lineups without having to detract from all the family time and the turkey time and all these different things, you got to get signed up for the FTN Daily Lineup Edge Optimizer Package today. Starting at $49 a month, all four sports, roster percentages, one price, people. You can build your bankroll, get these lineups made super easy. Use the code FTNTV for 15% off every single month today for the Lineup Edge Optimizer Package. Adam, these pickups this week. All right, I'm going to kick us off here, man, with one of, I'm not going to say the sexiest name, but a guy that I think that we're talking about plug and play. And with the news that Michael Carter is going to miss 2 to possibly 3 weeks with the ankle issue, Ty Johnson is a guy that I think you could plug in as maybe a low-end RB2, definitely a high-end flex. We've seen the pass game role that he's garnered with the Jets. I understand Flacco's under center. I get that. But that I mean, he can't be any worse than Mike White or Zach Wilson was playing earlier this season. Ty Johnson in weeks 7 through 9, 8.6 touches per game, but he turned it into 72 total yards, man. He gets into the box, and any one of those games, you're probably looking at low-end RB2 production. The upcoming schedule is nice. I mean, Come on, man. You get the Texans to start as the starter. And no, I'm proclaiming him the starter. I am not worried about Tevin Coleman. I'm not about that life. I don't think Tevin Coleman could be a healthy nor productive asset in the NFL at this point in his career. Sad to say, but true. So I think Ty Johnson's going to be the guy back there in the backfield. He's the one that's been splitting reps with Michael Carter. Again, gets the Texans. Then they get the Eagles, who we know you can one attack with pass catching running backs and with the run game. Then it toughens up, my friend. Then he gets New Orleans. Miami you can run on. We've seen that. I mean, that's who Carter was chewing up before they left. Jacksonville, which it's up and down. Tampa Bay, which you can actually attack with receiving backs again. And then Buffalo to close the season. Thoughts on Carter? Like, I mean, is this one of those situations, if you need running back help at this point and you're looking for a stash, I mean, is it just blow whatever the clip you have left? I mean, that's kind of where I'm at, because at this point, you probably don't have a ton.
I mean, look, this is where we're at right now. Ty Johnson is the top waiver out of the week, and that just shows you how underwhelming this week is for waivers. But, like, we've seen him very involved in the passing game. The only thing I'm slightly, it doesn't even matter because, like, again, if this were a week where there's so many options, especially at running back, then you can kind of, like, make cases against if you want. But the only thing I will say is, like, Elijah Moore, first of all, let me get that out of the way. If somehow Elijah Moore's still out there, go get him.
At, like, a Baker's dozen? How many times we brought his name up in weeks past, like a month ago?
Look, I've mentioned a lot Elijah Moore and Rashad Bateman's name on this pod more than Marvin Jones this year, and that saddens me. I'll just leave it at that. But Elijah Moore obviously broke out last game, career day, the yardage, the touchdowns, the catches, everything's great. But the best part for me about Elijah Moore's game, because he's been producing the couple weeks prior to that, but the concern we had, and we talked about it, is his snaps and routes were kind of like half of what Jamison Crowder and Corey Davis's were. That changed on Sunday. He ran a route on over 80% of Joe Flacco's dropbacks. I think he actually ran more routes than Crowder and just one or two behind Corey Davis. So he's a full-time player. He's talented. Go pick him up. But for Ty Johnson, yeah, I mean, like, Carter was not only getting a ton of passing game work, but he was operating as the clear lead and goal line back. Now, Tevin Coleman got more of the carries once Carter left that game, but Ty Johnson played more, got the higher value touches. So that's really all that matters. So yeah, like, again, it's not a great week for waivers, but Ty Johnson, unless you're looking at it, you know, you really need, unless your team's loaded, you need to stream a quarterback this week because we don't have Kyler. There's other players like Russell Wilson struggling. Maybe you want to stream somebody. Then maybe you look at Cam as the top ad of the week, but yeah, Ty Johnson's right up there. And that's where we're at. I mean, it's week 12.
I mean, you summed it up perfectly, man. That's where we're at. And I mean, with this name and lit, like, with this list of players that we have here, it's a lot of, like, spot starts, a lot of guys you're looking at maybe 1-2 weeks. And, yes, so Ty Johnson is the top ad of the week. Obviously, yes, that spells out the detriment of waivers for this week. Lead us into the first player you're going to bring up here, Adam. I agree with the name. Actually like the name. I think that top 12, maybe rest of season. Is that too spicy for your player?
No, I talked about it on the solo pod recapping the game. I think Cam Newton rest of season is in that 10 to 14 range of quarterback. Yep. Really encouraging in his first start. There was reports that, you know, PJ Walker would probably play, and I don't think he played a single snap. Cam looked good, man. He only threw 27 times, so he only had about 190 passing yards, but had two touchdowns. The touchdown pass he had to McCaffrey was an absolute dime. And then 10 carries, 46 yards, and a touchdown. So 26 fantasy points, and we know he's going to be good in fantasy. And look, if you're in a situation where, like, I'm in a league where, you know, I picked up Cam, first of all, like, I was just going to do it anyway, because again, Cam's one of my favorite players of all time, but like, Kyler obviously banged up. So I started Cam at 1 o'clock, assuming Kyler wouldn't play. And now I'm sitting here like, I might have two top 10 quarterbacks the rest of the season. It's very possible. But like, Russell Wilson, struggling right now. Seattle, their time possession, their pace, their plays per game is ugly. And their offense is playing poorly. And Pete Carroll doesn't want Russell Wilson to throw the ball 35 times, even though your three best players are in the passing game. That's good. Like, I'm concerned about Russell Wilson. So if you have Wilson, I would pick up Cam and probably stream him this week against Miami, whose defense a little bit better lately. And we saw what they did against Lamar Jackson a couple weeks ago with just blitzing him. But that'll leave, like, that'll leave the middle of the field wide open for Christian McCaffrey and these guys for easy completions. Plus, a thing with man-heavy defenses like Brian Flores plays in Miami, defensive backs, their backs are turned, and if Cam Newton gets out and runs, it's a lot of green grass in front of him. So I like Cam a lot this week as a top 12 quarterback again. And look, rest of the season, like, we know that floor is going to be there. So yeah, for me, Ty Johnson, Cam Newton, the top two players to add off waivers this week, unless, again, Elijah Moore or Michael Gallup are somehow available in your league still.
Yeah, I agree, man. And I'll bring up this next player real fast, because if he's out there, you can make a conversation, because just of the state of the position, if Logan Thomas is somehow out on the waiver wire, going to bring him up, looks like he's going to return. We know the tight end position. We've seen it with Ricky Seals-Jones. We've seen it with Logan Thomas. Whoever is going to be the starter is going to play all the snaps, run all the routes. That's all we really care about, regardless of talking about target shares and the state of the Washington offense. If Logan Thomas is going to reprise that role, which if he's coming back, he's going to be healthy enough to play, I'm looking at him as being that full go, then you got to double check the waiver wire. Just make sure that he's not out there, man. Another, and this is not a sexy name that I'm going to bring up here, and this is with a grain of salt. Do not break the budget for this guy. But if you were to tell me, like, you're going to stick him on the end of the bench, you're in deeper leagues, you need that flyer for the rest of the season, it's a guy we talked about, or at least I talked about a ton in best ball, and it only took to week 12 to actually sneak him up in here. Quadre Olison, man. For the Falcons. And I know there's a lot of these teams where we're just like, we're in the dumpster. We're scrounging for something, some type of value that we could possibly tell ourselves a story of, well, maybe this running back, like Deontay Foreman, pans out. Maybe it does. That's really what we're talking about with Quadre Olison. For the Falcons, last week played 48% of the snaps. I understand no Patterson. So yes, again, we got to talk about that. But even if Patterson's going to be in this offense, he comes back, he's healthy, he's not playing full-time running back. He's playing halftime running back, and the other snaps, he's playing wide receiver. So this is really more to just talk about it. And we tried to warn people, Adam. We tried in season. Like, when people were doing drafts and they're saying, but the volume, and oh my lord, the quads, oh Mike Davis. We tried to tell people, like, no, this is not one of those scenarios. Like, you don't see, you don't see this pan out very often. So it's probably a trap, and Mike Davis is dead. He's dead in this offense. Like, they're not using him, man. And even last week, they had chances to in previous weeks. He's not doing anything. So if you want to take the upside flyer on this backfield, and if anything, I'm like, look, if Patterson's out for longer, like I said, Olson, 48% of the snaps. He got 9 rushing attempts, 3 targets, 2 catches. They get Jacksonville, Tampa Bay, which are not great matchups. So, Carolina Panthers, you can run on them. San Francisco is bottom 10 in explosive run rate allowed. Then they get Detroit, Buffalo, which, no, he's not Jonathan Taylor, so we're not going to talk about that. You don't probably want to play him there, or New Orleans. There are some weeks that are laced in there where he's a flex play for you, possibly, if he takes over this backfield. Thoughts on Olison? And it's gross. I know it is.
I'm gonna be perfectly honest with you here. You can have fun with that one. I get it. No, like all jokes aside, I get it, right? Like, Davis, yep. It's not even the fact that Patterson was out. Like,
I prefaced it, man. I said it was an ugly week, okay?
but seriously, like you said, it's not even the fact that just Patterson was out. Like, you can clearly see, and again, they said it was in that Dallas game, okay, that we pulled Mike Davis because the game was out of hand, but then all of a sudden, the next week, Quadre Olison's heavily involved. So, yeah, I mean, in deeper leagues, I mean, I can't even say anything because I have Matt Breida on this list. And I put in parentheses deeper leagues.
I was going to say, you beat me to it because you didn't want me to just absolutely body slam you with it. I was going to say, you're giving me so much shit about bringing up Quadre Olison, and you got Matt freaking Breida on this list.
This is in the deepest
and
of leagues.
And just because he's a Bills, it doesn't matter that just because he's a Bills player, does he get preference? Come on.
Do you think I want to mention anybody in the Buffalo Bills right now? This average football team. But look,
I mean, you're still having to like sift through the bodies that Jonathan Taylor left on the field. I don't even know if they'll be able to field a healthy team this week after all the destruction he caused.
Wait, what's that? I just got word in my earpiece. He actually just scored again. It got to a point in that game where it's like, I already knew the Bills were going to lose, and I have Jonathan Taylor on two of my most important teams. I was like, dude, just go for seven, go for eight. Who cares? The Bills are not winning this game. Just go crazy. But
I mean, if you're going to do it, you might as well break a record. Come on, baby. Let's go.
Seriously. Like, it's so funny watching that too. It's like late in the game, the Bills stuff him on, like, he loses like 3 yards, and it's like, way to show some pride. What a fight back. He already has 190 yards and 5 touchdowns, and you stop him for a 4 yard loss. Good for you. But on Matt Breida, this, and I put in parentheses deeper leagues, he's been active each of the last two games, and he's been out playing and getting close to the same amount of touches as Zach Moss and Singletary. And the Bills offense is, it's not broken right now, but it's not great. Like, unless they're throwing to Diggs right now, their offense is not great.
Can we say it's on life support? Okay, I mean,
I don't think it's that worrisome. Like, I think a lot of that came to last week was Josh Allen was forcing stuff because they got behind early, and just the two picks he had were
absolute
forces.
But isn't that like the microcosm of their season, though? Like, I mean, we're seeing two top shelf quarterbacks this year, and everybody's talked about it, and we're not going to hammer on it too long. But I do think it does give a little more credence to Matt Breida. We're seeing two top shelf quarterbacks struggle with what defenses are trying to do, and their offenses are struggling with them. And that's Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. And teams are facing them in the same manner, and it's because, yeah, Kansas City finally said last week with Clyde Edwards-Helaire that we're going to try to run the damn ball. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, unlike Darrell Williams, can allow them to do that because he's actually a better running back than people give him credit for. I understand people want to eye roll. I feel you at home listening to this. You still should have traded for him to the deadline. He's going to show you. Anyway, but with all of this, this is to say that Buffalo, you saw them, what was it, last week or the week before? They got Isaiah McKenzie involved. Matt Breida started getting involved. Mm-hmm. They had to do a lot of things to make their offense more multiple because it's just like, dude, we suck at this point. Like, if it's not like throwing the ball to Dawson Knox or maybe some checkdowns to Cole Beasley, we're not seeing explosive plays. We're not
that's the point.
This offense.
They've literally been using short passes to Cole Beasley as an extension of the running game. And Beasley's been really banged up with the ribs. His snaps have been down. And like Zach Moss and Singletary, solid running backs. Matt Breida is probably faster than both those two players combined. Like, he gives them so much more explosiveness. Like, Matt Breida, people forget, still probably one of the five fastest running backs in the NFL. And
it's true.
The last 2 weeks, he's just flat out looked better than Moss and Singletary. So if they start to get him even more involved, knowing that they have to get something going in the running game and in the short passing game where Breida can take screens or whatever and take them 40 plus yards to the house, that's something Buffalo at this point in their season has to keep looking at. And I'm not saying you start Breida. The upcoming schedule is absolutely dreadful. He's got Tampa Bay. He's got the Saints, obviously, this week. But like in deeper leagues, again, maybe especially if like you have Moss or Singletary on your team, I would just add him and see what happens. Don't start him anytime soon. But just again, it's the fact that this week is awful and just someone to keep an eye on deeper leagues. And then you mentioned Logan Thomas, and a huge reason why I was in agreement with Logan Thomas is he's got two matchups against the Eagles to end the season, and that ties in with Evan Ingram, who could be a streamer this week. Look, I know Evan Ingram has been a massive disappointment. Doesn't matter if the Giants have all of the receivers healthy or all of the receivers inactive. He still disappoints. But the Philadelphia Eagles, and I tweeted this yesterday, remember like 2 or 3 years ago when the Cardinals was like, oh, who's playing the Cardinals at tight end? Play that tight end. That's the Eagles this year. Like, Adam Trautman, 5 for 60 and a touchdown on Sunday. And it's not even like they're getting, you know, lit up by the Wallers and Travis Kelce's and George Kittle's of the world. Listen to the production they've given up to tight ends and the tight ends they faced. Again, I mentioned Trautman, 5 for 58 and a touchdown. They allowed both Donald Parham and Steven Anderson, so not even Jared Cook for the Chargers, to combine for 7 for 90 and 2 touchdowns. Foster Moreau with Waller out, 6 for 60 and a touchdown. O.J. Howard, 6 for 50 and a touchdown. Tommy Tremble, 2 for 12 and a touchdown. Travis Kelce, no, Jody Fortson, 1 for 2 and a touchdown. Dalton Schultz back in week 3, 6 for 80 and 2 touchdowns. I mean, it's like they're getting destroyed by the position. They're easily the worst in football at defending it. And they're getting torched by tight ends that aren't even in massive roles in their offense. So, like, yes, is Evan Ingram going to max out at 5 to 7 targets? Hopefully, probably. But, like, that's all it takes against the Eagles. So, as a streaming tight end this week, you have to replace Travis Kelce. Cardinals are on bye. Zach Ertz has been playing well. Got to replace him. I would look at Evan Engram. Just the matchup is way too good.
And staying with that matchup, the guy that's been, well, he was actually, we'll have to see his status. Kyle Rudolph left last night's game with an injury. I didn't see if it was serious or not, though. So it's worth monitoring. But if he suits up in deeper leagues, and I'm talking like if he's out there on a dynasty waiver wire, what have you.
The way the Eagles are playing against Titans, they'll both score.
Rudolph has more red zone targets over the back half of the season than Evan Engram does. And yes,
yeah, and if what are you going to do? That's not going to change in December of all months with Rudolph. Come on.
Oh, man. I made that type of bad joke in writing up that game yesterday. Oh, man. Good to know I'm not alone in dad jokes. That's good to know. but getting off of the tight end position, you got two deeper league wide receivers you want to bring up here, Adam. And one of them, CeeDee Lamb is... Depending on what you're listening to coming out of Dallas, it looks like maybe he has a chance to play. Again, with concussion protocols, it comes down to symptoms. So it's not so much like he needs so many days to recover as it is every player's timeline looks a little bit different. So maybe there's a chance he plays. Maybe not. But regardless of that, this player and the other one you're going to bring up here are going to have roles in these passing offenses.
Yeah, so you alluded to it. The Dallas Cowboys, no Amari Cooper on Thanksgiving. CeeDee Lamb concussed. Schefter reported like during halftime of Monday's game that the Cowboys believe he could play, but it's gonna be tough. And like even if he does play, like Wilson's still gonna be on the field in three wide sets with Cooper out. But then if Lamb doesn't play, all of a sudden Cedric Wilson's an every down player next to Michael Gallup on an offense that's at home. Against a Raiders defense that's kind of been reeling as of late. They've been better against the pass, but he had seven targets last game. Like he could easily walk into seven again. Obviously, you feel better about starting. Gallup and Dalton Schultz are going to be must start players this week. But like Cedric Wilson will be perfectly viable. I will say though, when I wrote about it in the week 11, you know, matchups to target article that I put up at FTN Fantasy on Monday, I think this could be like, obviously, I think they're going to, like Zeke's going to get fed. Joe Mixon just absolutely destroyed the Raiders. I think it could be a sneaky Tony Pollard game. You know, they play a lot of sets where Zeke's in the backfield and Pollard's, you know, either in motion or in the slot. Like, they could play Pollard in the slot in this game and just let him kind of get, you know, 12 touches, whether it's seven catches and, you know, or seven carries and, you know, a handful of carries. I think they could do that. I think Pollard's a sneaky flex, but the point remains Wilson's going to be involved. And then Nick Westbrook-Akina, like, I talked about Marcus Johnson on the DFS pod as a value play. He got hurt very early in the game. AJ Brown obviously left the game with a chest injury. Like their offense could be without. They're obviously Julio's not going to be back this week. I mean, Westbrook-Akina led the team in snaps and targets and routes. Like it just comes to opportunity at that point. Tennessee has who do they play this week? I haven't gotten to the week 12 full slate yet, but. Like, it's just opportunity. They just don't have anybody else. Like, they can't run the football right now. And, like, they just don't have anybody else. And we talked about it. Like, we talked about how the Titans were a little bit overhyped without Derrick Henry. Like, their offense is terrible. And they couldn't even... Yes, I know A.J. Brown missed a lot of that game. But, like, they're still a very bad offense. So...
They get the Patriots this week. And then after that, they get the Jaguars, which... Pretty good matchup. Then they get the Steelers, and their outside corners are playing terrible. So yeah, I think he could be flex worthy depending on the health of that wide receiver room. And yeah, you're talking about, man, like we have not minced words about the Tennessee Titans, and now people understand why I was out in the streets and saying, "Well, this is not the class of the AFC. They are not. They have not been. They are frauds."
We like to talk about like
saying that it is.
We like
what it
the
is.
What is it? The running backs don't matter, like stuff, but like. Derrick Henry being out.
Dude.
He
matters. He matters.
Yeah.
Just a tiny bit. He matters. Yeah.
So, I just think they... Again, if A.J. Brown's... Like, because Marcus Johnson started alongside A.J. Brown in week 10, and he was going to start again opposite A.J. Brown, but then he got hurt, and then A.J. Brown got hurt. So, like... A.J. Brown comes back, but Marcus Johnson's out. I think Westbrook-Akina goes back to being the number two receiver, in which he's still a viable option in deeper leagues.
Yeah, I agree, man. I mean, this offense is not great. The defense is not nearly as good as people talk about. They blitz at a high rate, but their secondary outside of Christian Fulton is bad. And they're one of those few teams where it's like, if you don't throw it against this guy, then you can have at it. You can have completions. You can have all the things. So they, I think there's passing volume to be had there. And, that's going to lead us into our last guy here, man. And that's, we brought him up. How many times did we bring up Marquez Valdes-Scantling last year for waivers? I felt like we had him on the list.
It's probably like every other week.
5 weeks.
It's like every other week he was on the podcast, or not on the podcast. Crazy. That'd be cool, but
that would be cool. It's crazy though, and nobody likes to play Valdes-Scantling. But the fact of it is that you play Valdes-Scantling versus secondaries that can be torched by either speed or they're bad versus the deep ball. And we saw he popped off. He popped off against the Minnesota Vikings, man. And that leads us into, like, if you look at his schedule for the rest of the season, if we're talking about you play Valdes-Scantling as a wide receiver 3 or a flex, and you pray for the ceiling week against teams that are bad, bad versus deep passing, dear God, Adam, his rest of season schedule, they get the Rams, which are first, people, and people don't understand this. The Rams are first in deep completion rate allowed in the NFL. They just don't get enough publicity about how bad they are versus the deep pass. Then you look at the rest of it. Chicago is 29th in DVOA. Baltimore has been torched by the deep ball. Hello, Darnell Mooney. Cleveland Browns, 30th in DVOA. Then he gets the Vikings, who he just went off against. And to close the season, the worst team in the NFL versus the deep ball. Hello, the Detroit Lions.
Yep.
Dude, I didn't realize his schedule was that mouthwatering until we went to go, like, research for waivers. And Lord help me. I'm going to be, like, I think Valdes-Scantling, looking at this rest of season schedule, is that type of player that if you're going to play him, if he walks into multiple ceiling weeks, that could be the difference between you winning your week. Like, that's the type of upside he has in this offense. Adam, what are your thoughts, man? Like, that type of schedule just looks ridiculous for him.
I had to do a double take looking at the box score doing the solo pod on Sunday, because he actually out-targeted Davante Adams. I think it was like 10-8 or 10-7. Now, it might be the only time he ever does that. But Alan Lazard was out, which definitely helps, but, like, they don't have a tight end to speak of. Aaron Jones probably going to miss at least one more week. And, yeah, like, the Lions, you mentioned, 9.5 average depth of target allowed, second worst in the NFL. Minnesota, 8.6, fifth worst in the NFL. Baltimore, bottom 10 at 8.4 allowed. So, like, there's plenty of matchups for him to, you know, make plays deep down the field. And I think there's going to be at least one or two more games where if, like, you're looking at your matchup and you're facing MVS and you see that you lost and it's like, oh, he had 7 for 140 and a touchdown. And it's very possible with a lot of these next couple matchups. So, I would definitely rather add MVS over the last two receivers I mentioned for sure. And I'll add one more, and it's more for this week. Allen Robinson didn't practice. Again, go get Darnell Mooney if he's not added, but similar kind of deep playability. Marquise Goodwin.
You're going to bring him up. Yes, I love this.
Just for this week, they play Detroit.
Love this.
I just mentioned Detroit in the deep passing plays they allow. And Goodwin had a 50, 47-yard touchdown last game.
Yep.
Again, like, I was disappointed how uninvolved Cole Kmet was, but Marquise Goodwin, like, there's opportunity there without Robinson now. I don't think Robinson even practiced last week, and now it's a short week. It's a short turnaround. Yeah, I doubt he plays this game. So you're looking at the number two receivers of Goodwin and Darnell Mooney, and there's going to be opportunities there against this awful Detroit passing defense.
I love that call. Love that call. I was like, is he going to do it? Is he going to say him? Like, you're talking about deep leagues, and hell, I think he's even flex worthy. If you are in trouble, I like him in this matchup, man. Again, I was really surprised you just brought up that name, but I'm totally on board with him, man. You talk about speed for days. We know Goodwin has it, and we've seen him be productive in the league. So now in a starting role, he's going to be playing on the outside. I love that call, man. So if you are looking at, like, I was in the streets last night. I'm licking my wounds, man. Saquon Barkley let me down. But I'm already looking towards Thursday, baby. Looking at some other action I can get in on Thanksgiving. You got to be heading to Top Prop. And get involved in the battleground, people. This is the easiest way to play daily fantasy. You're basically simply picking a player to score more fantasy points than the other player. That is it. And unlike other DFS platforms where you've got thousands of people in a lobby, in a tournament, things like that, you're playing head-to-head contests. So it's just you versus the other person. And right now, for all the FTC listeners, Top Prop has an exclusive deal. So using the promo code FTN50 at checkout, so topropfantasy.com, gets you a $50 risk-free contest today. This isn't going to last long, so you got to act on this now. FTN50, topropfantasy.com for that $50 risk-free play. And like I said, head-to-head contest. Meet me in the battleground this week. Adam and I are going to be back talking more trades and things dynasty-wise on players to get on and off your rosters for the stretch run for the rest of the season. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at APPfeiffer24, and at ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.